Today, I'm going to talk about the title. I usually title these things for myself, but I'm going to share the title today. It's called Join In. Okay? Doesn't that just sound nice?
Yes, it does.
Doesn't that sound like a best-selling book that you guys would read? Join In. So I'm going to read a couple verses in Acts chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. One heart and soul. Just a second.
Already the eyes are going.
I can see just fine. But it was like kind of down here, you know. All right. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. So they had everything in common, and everyone's needs were met. And I want to stop here and point out that I am not suggesting that Oak Street Church goes back to the commune days. Okay, I just spent this last half of this week with the leaders, hearing about kind of the history of Oak Street, and it was a good thing. But I'm not telling us now to go sell all our stuff and buy a big mansion and live together, okay? I just want to show that this mutual concern, this mutual care, is an early staple of the church. And I've said it before, your success is my success, and your loss is our loss, right? So Steve can share about his friend, and we all are concerned about that, because if Steve's hurting, we're all hurting. So instead of selling our stuff, let's give our time and attention to one another. So today I want us to think about service. And I need to say, don't shut your brain off, because I'm not going to just give you a list of things to do. You're probably thinking, if I was you, this is what I'd be thinking right now. Service. All right. John's just going to talk about Monday meal. And he's just going to make a bunch of jokes about how you should help him clean dishes and how he's not guilting you, but he kind of is. That's what I would be thinking about. But I'm not going to do that, okay? So don't shut your brain down, because service is a crucial aspect of growing in Jesus, all right? So you remember what we talked about a couple months ago? I talked about food as kind of a metaphor for, like, you know, when you're a baby, you can only handle milk. And I said that milk is kind of like, I am loved. God loves me. But then when you're older, you can have, like, meat, solid food. And that was, I'm loved and I'm called to love. There's a maturity of not just receiving, but receiving and giving. And you can give because you've received, right? So, here's some examples. Jesus, while he was on the earth doing his ministry, and he was only doing it for a few years, while he's doing that, he sends his disciples out to go practice what he showed them. Right? He does that kind of like right before he feeds the 5,000, I think he sends them out. And in John 13, it's at the Last Supper, and he washes their feet. And when he had washed their feet, this is John 13, verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is like at the very end, right? Jesus is about to die, and he takes a moment to leave this important lesson. And he does that, like, Jesus did a lot of miracles, But he chooses to really emphasize, serve one another. Okay? And we got to address this. We go to church in America, and the American church came from Europe, and the European church came from, okay, you get the, it goes back ways, but somewhere along the line, we thought, let's have people who are professional, that's their job is to be a priest. And then eventually that became, we'll just have them be the pastor, right? So we have Breck here. We have Kathy. You guys have me. And there's a tendency, because of the way our society works, to think that person's job is to be spiritual and to serve and to make sure things happen. And my job is to tithe and to show up and enjoy the fruits of whatever they do. That's kind of a thought that can happen, right? If you go to a concert, you're paying a musician to play you a song. But that's not the church. Now, it might be beneficial. We agree. It's good that Breck is freed up all week long to meet with people, to do things, to think about this church, and to help lead us, to give us direction. But the pastor does not carry us. This church doesn't sit on Breck's shoulders. This church is in the hands of Jesus. Okay, so Jesus carries us. And oftentimes he carries us by dividing up the work and giving it to each of us to do. And then he equips us. So here's the kicker. Today I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to run down a list of ideas because if I did that, I think I would be robbing you of your chance to ask God about it. So I only ask that you engage your imagination and that you prayerfully consider what you can do. There's no shame in small jobs. And if you're really stumped, I'm sure Dan Fish has a couple ideas. But you have to ask God first, okay? Don't just cheat and go straight to Dan and he'll tell you to clean off some lights or something. Like, no. Ask God. And then, obey. So I'm asking you to use your imagination, ask God, and obey. And part of asking God is to commit to obey before you know what he's going to say. Because we kind of got to commit, or it's just going to be easy to be like, was that really God? I don't know. You know, maybe God doesn't actually want me to do that. So the passage we're going to be in today, the main passage, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's not a super long chapter, but it's kind of a long chapter, and there's some parts we might have to kind of scooch through. So we're talking about work, we're talking about service. Let's consider gifting, spiritual gifts. And I want to make a couple notes. Your gift may not be healing or prophecy or teaching or helping. But because we're united in Christ, you are still, you can still be prophetic. You can still bring healing. You can still be a helper. You can still teach, right? So even if that maybe doesn't seem like your primary thing, don't discount it then. I was at a wedding not too long ago, and when the bride's dad was asked to help clean up, because it was just, you know, close friends were helping wrap things up, he said, I'm not a janitor. And I wasn't there, otherwise I would have said something like, well, tough, neither am I, but we're doing it. You know, like, this is what you do, right? You're not a servant? Well, you are. When there's a need, you are. Yes. And here, you may not be the hired guy who helps clean things up, but this is your place. Amen. You are a servant here. And you do have a responsibility to lead when there's an opportunity to lead and to teach when there's an opportunity to teach as God provides it for you, okay? So don't get stuck thinking, I'm just this. Think more, I might be mostly this, but whatever God calls me to. Okay, so I'm not a plumber like Steve Learman. If something really bad happens to the house over there, I got to call Steve. But when my sink broke, I was able to fix it. Does that metaphor work for you guys? Does that make sense? Now, if the water heater goes out, but that smaller job, I could do that. And ultimately, it has to be Christ who enables us. He never gives us a job without equipping us to obey. So be brave in trusting him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaks in the Spirit of God, that no one who's speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. So as we're considering gifting, know that your gift will never be in line. I'm sorry. Know that your gift will be in line with the love of God. Will never not be in line with the love of God. If your gift doesn't come out in a loving way, then it's not a gift at all. Okay? And it's either being twisted by something, or it's being mislabeled as a gift. This is my gift, but it's not a gift at all. So if I believe that I'm gifted to teach, and I come up here, and every time I'm done, you guys leave just feeling terrible and not encouraged and just like not convicted, but like just guilty. Well, that's not coming from a place of the love of God, because the love of God might convict us, but it always brings us to growth. It always leads us to freedom, right? Not oppression. So that would be maybe a gift that's being twisted. There's something in me that's just getting funky. Or if you guys leave and you're just like, I'm ready, I'm so stoked for this day, I can't even wait, but you don't know why you're excited, you don't have any connection to what was the scripture about, maybe I'm just a talented speaker. This is, you know, anybody. Maybe I'm just like motivational, but that's just a talent. If it, all it does is pep you up, but there's no substance there. Okay? Maybe I've taken my comfort zone and labeled that as a gift. Because the gifts that God gives us really might push us out of our comfort zone. Breck has said, you know, I didn't really want to be a teaching pastor. Breck's natural talent maybe was not to stand up in front of everyone and say, here's what God has for you. But I don't think any of us would try and shut him down now, because he's got a lot of good stuff to say. God gifted him to be a teacher where his natural talent wasn't turned that way. Okay? And I think that talent has kind of come along behind that gifting and really developed, because he's a great speaker. Talent is not bad, but it isn't a substitute for the power of God at work in us. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Amen.
And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what's the common theme there? Somebody say it. What's the common theme? God. God is... There's lots of gifts, but they all come from one giver. There's lots of activities, but they're all in obedience to one Lord. So your area or way of service is not better or less, either way, than mine, because both come from and are in service to the same God. I'm going to reread verses 6 and 7. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So in all that variety, God is the empowerer. Do you see a need that needs to be met, but don't know how to do that? Well, God will empower you. Okay? And he does this empowering in everyone, for our common good. And I would say not just the church's good, but for our community's good. Silverton should benefit from us being empowered by God to serve one another. The Message kind of renders that passage like this. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. So if you've been coming here for a while, there's two things I want to say. One, I hope that you know that we really love you. And I hope that you're being blessed by being a part of this community. And two, know that if you want to grow, God has uniquely empowered you to bless this community right back. And you don't have to worry about overspending because God keeps just putting it in your bank account, right? He's giving to you so you can give out. And you don't have to worry about, oh, what if I don't have enough? What if I get stretched too thin? What if I'm too tired? Because God's like, I got you. And when you do need a break, someone else is going to step up and take that and give you a rest. And that's what we're called to do for each other, okay? I'm tempted not to read this next passage because we don't have time to talk about all these gifts. I don't feel equipped to talk about all of them. I haven't studied enough on all of them. I'm going to read through it. You can do some more studying later. Maybe we can do some more specific things at a later time. For to one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Sometimes it's helpful for me to look at the message because it just says things differently, just a different perspective. It's like someone reading it to me and explaining it. Here's that list as the message gives it. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. So if you think about that list, you look at it and it's like, I need that. There's something I need. I need some wisdom. I need some clarity. I need some healing. I need some hope. I need some just simple trust that isn't complicated and doesn't have to be all justified, but it's just like, I just trust you. This is whatever's going on is a mess, and I'm kind of just starting to drown, but I trust you. Simple trust. Whatever you look there and you see and you need it, God meets that need in his body. God provides someone with that gift for the good of us all. So that when I'm down in the dumps, Elijah can say, you know, John, it's not over. You can just trust, right? I mean, you know that God's good. You can trust him. Okay. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Which is a really complicated way to say, a lot of parts, one person, okay? That's how it is with Christ. That's how it is with the church. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, Republicans or Democrats, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So the body needs its wide range of parts to function. The church needs all of its members to use their unique gifts so it can function. So there's no jealousy. You're not an ear? Well, guess what? You're an eye, and we actually need that. You're not a musician? You can't play worship? Well, guess what? You're an encourager. And I need that, because I can turn off the music pretty easy. I can be sitting here just in my own little thing all morning long until I have to get up here, until I have to do announcements. But someone who wants to encourage me can see that in me, can sense that, and come up afterwards and say, John, you all right? Like, let's get you out of this funk. Okay? And again, this is a lot of stuff. We're just kind of rolling through it. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Have you ever poked your eye? Right? It's weaker, but boy, you need it. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So there's no looking down or dismissing another's gifts. And there's no looking up at someone else's gift and dismissing your own. No one has the gift of discouraging people who are humbly using their gift to serve others. No one has the gift of criticizing or ranking. Well, you're a better prayer, so we're going to let her do that, but so maybe you can just wash dishes. That's not a gift. That's not a gift. That does not come from God. If one of us suffers, all of us suffer. If one is honored, we all rejoice. No division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. That we can value the choice of the Holy Spirit in the way that He's gifted each of us equally. This is the final passage. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer to all those? No. Not everyone is all those things. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So I tend to read this list as a hierarchy, right? An order of values. So if you're down in the helping, administrating, or tongues level, you're just kind of less than. And if you're an apostle, it's like, ooh, wow, that guy is so spiritual. That's how I read it, right? Because that's how we're trained. That's how, you know, when you list things off, number one's number one, right? We're number one. That doesn't mean you're equal to everyone else. That means I'm on top. But if we read it that way, we're forgetting already about verse 24, where it says that God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, and that the members may have the same care for one another. So instead of asking, which gift is better? Which gift is cooler? Which one's the one that's better to have? So that you can want to have it. Instead of asking that, ask, God, which gift is needed? And will you provide that in this body? Okay? Because that's what is meant by desiring the higher gifts. Desiring the needed gift. Whatever that looks like. And that means when you come in here, you don't worship Breck because he's the pastor, so he must be like the number one. You know, he's a leader and we honor that. But we honor just the same Greg showing up to serve at Monday meal. Because Greg has felt called, I'm going to do that. And God has gifted him to do that. And there's a joy in that. And we can celebrate with Greg in that moment. Because that's a gift that's needed. We need someone to serve. Verse 31, I will show you a still more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? If you've been to a wedding, you know what's coming. What's the more excellent way? Love. Verse 13, kiss. chapter 13 is the chapter about love, and you go to weddings and they read it because, you know, you're supposed to love each other when you get married. I'm told. But the more excellent way is love, and it's for all of us. And love is not a spiritual gift, okay? It's not something that some of us have more than others, or that some of us have and some of us don't have, because love is above all those gifts. And it's actually the heart of God in us, enabling us to use the gifts that he gives us. Right? Because if I'm using a gift and it's not coming out of the love of God, it's not going to work out. It's not a true gift. Right? Because the gift that God gives me is him working in me and through me. So we have to seek the love of God above all else. Now, I'm sure you've heard people claiming to have a gift and acting in an unloving way. It's not a gift. Simple as that. Just as simple as that. Okay, so here's a few thoughts that I have about serving. One, you do not have to hear a thunderous, booming, audible voice in order to serve. You might need to hear it. God might have to say, hey.
Hey.
Right? But you don't need it. You have a unique way of looking at things. You have a unique history. When you're in here and you look around, you probably see things that I don't see. Look around, ask God. Notice what he has you notice. Second thing, be humble. Come under the leadership of Oak Street's authority and ask us to help you serve as you've been called. Right? Because we love this place. The leadership at Oak Street really loves this place. They've been here for a long time. And they want this place to be a blessing. And they have some experience about how things maybe don't work out or things do work out. And we want to help you minister to the body in the best way possible. So be humble in that way. And then I wanted to actually share a story about Jim, really tall Jim. I was going to ask him about it, but he's not here. So I'm just going to share it without asking. And I might get a couple details wrong. I don't know. Many Mondays, Jim comes in kind of late on Monday meal. And many Mondays, after he's done eating, he will start cleaning the tables. And I'm guessing that at some point a long time ago, someone asked Jim to clean the tables. But I don't think anyone's asked Jim to clean the tables since. He just does it. Right? He doesn't sign up for the cleanup crew. He just comes, he eats. He sees that the tables are messy because Breck or I failed to recruit a team and we're just in there washing dishes. You know, he just sees it's needed and he just does it. Okay? And he doesn't come in here on Sunday. He doesn't kick the door open and say, hey, I'm Jim. I'm the guy who washes tables at Monday meal. You might have heard of me. He doesn't do that. You know, he just quietly washes the tables and takes off. And in a very real way, he's making a very real difference. Because you could say, oh, he's got the gift of serving or of helping. But you could also say, he's got the gift of teaching because he's just doing it. And I noticed it, and some of you have noticed it. He's doing it, right? So we label these things like, oh, that's this gift, that's that gift. Maybe it's more than that. So what thing can you do here? So I'm gonna go back through that list of steps. This is your homework. We might take a moment of silence after this just to get it rolling. So commit to obey and ask God what he wants you to do. Commit to obey what God has for you to do and ask him what that is. Use your imagination. Maybe don't just settle for the easy thing that comes to your mind first. Is there something else that people have missed? Something else that you are uniquely gifted to help out with here? Don't limit God. And usually when someone says this, they mean, don't think anything's too big because nothing's too big, which is true. But I think we limit God the other way. Don't limit God because nothing is too small. Right? No task is too small for God to care about. No task is too small for God. And don't limit God by saying it's not spiritual enough. Okay? Jesus, at the end of his life, strips down, scrubs his smelly disciples' feet, or his disciples' smelly feet, whichever way works, probably both, scrubs their feet and says, I'm your teacher, do like I've done. He doesn't say, guys, it's the last hurrah, get everybody up, we're going downtown, I'm going to get everyone and perform a whole lot of miracles, do what I've done. He just simply serves them and says, be like this. So ask God and commit to obey. Use your imagination. Don't limit God in the bigness or the smallness of it or the seeming unspiritualness of it. Because Jim's just washing tables, but there's something happening there. Then obey in humility and out of love and be thankful. David Hines, years ago, shared that if God gives you something to do and you mess it up, he'll forgive you. And then he'll give you a chance to try again. So if you mess up, that doesn't mean that you never get to do this again. It means that you get to be forgiven, maybe ask for a little help, and give it another shot, right?
Yes.
So we're just going to take a minute, just a little bit of quiet time, just to meet with the Holy Spirit inside, and then I'll close this in prayer. So Lord, speak to us, meet us where we're at, turn on our imaginations if they're a little rusty, strengthen in us our obedience, our willingness, and thank you that you are faithful and you never give us a job without totally equipping us. So God, we are a jumble of hands and feet and eyes and ears and noses and teeth and shoulders and skin cells and all the things and guts and hearts, and you are the head. We are your body. Thank you that you have given to each of us a special place in this body. Thank you that you have made us equally important. Thank you that there's no room for jealousy or judgment, that we can be thankful and rejoice that you have given each of us a place, and that when other people come in here, that they have a place too. And Lord, thank you in advance. We bless you for the good things that will come out of this body acting in a healthy, serving way. Thank you for the people who will experience your love, maybe for the first time, or maybe for the 100th time, when we follow your example, when we wash each other's feet. we use the gift that you give us. And Lord, I just ask that your love would fill us up and surround us, that we would overflow with your love. Make us incapable of doing anything outside of that love. Let that be the motivator, Lord. In your name, amen.